Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, say can see.
If you're an American and you're professing to be a Christian,
well, of course, as American citizens, what we want is accountable leadership.
Why don't we throw in a constitution so they know what's in that?
Get engaged in the political process.
Honest. You, my friend, are part of the problem
and not the solution.
Compassionate.
The church needs to rise. Rise.
The Monica Matthews Show.
Monica Matthews Show.
Welcome back to the Monica Matthews Show, Life, Love, and Liberty. As promised, I have a very special guest with us today, Miss Debbie D'Souza, the wife of Dinesh D'Souza. If you have not read any of his literature and or seen their movies, you need to do so. There's one coming out August the 7th that is very timely, as most of his documentaries are. Very informative. If you find yourself confused about what to think, what to feel, how to express that within your own family, how to educate your own family, your neighbors, your friends, your church members on matters, you know, social issues that are going to have profound impact on our lives, as you see happening right now on social media, people being fired for not agreeing with certain social narratives and rhetoric, families being canceled over disagreements over what you see uprising really from the pit of hell. Debbie joins us today to talk about their new documentary coming up August 7th called Trump Card.
The United States of America is unraveling for all the world to see.
It says it right in the name, Antifa, anti-fascism.
Anybody who pushes back is deemed a fascist.
It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
The socialist left and the Democrats want us to grovel. They want to make us into worms.
That America will never be a socialist country.
So with me today, I have Miss Debbie D'Souza, the wife of Dinesh D'Souza, who, if you're a conservative, we have all come to know and love, for not the least of which are his movies that inform us, enlighten us to our actual U.S. history, you know, also give us hope because we've seen, you know, just exactly how a powerful regime can come against one man who is actually a truth speaker, the links that administrations will go to actually silence the voice of the right. I follow Debbie on Twitter and Firebrand, reasonable woman, someone who has been in the fight as well, watched her home country essentially plummet to the ground due to things that this country is facing right now. So I wanted to bring Debbie on today to talk about their new movie, Trump Card, and to talk to us about the warning signs of where we're going. Debbie, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Monica.
Of course. So I follow you on Twitter, and I'm constantly shouting amen to just about everything I see you tweet, as flares. You know, you're sending up flares that, hey guys, we've been saying this. I just watched one of your interviews on Fox from last year where you were warning us during the Maduro, you know, sanctions and what we needed to do as a nation, what the president should have done at the time to deal with this tyrannical rule. And really here we are as a nation. And at the time you were telling us about, you know, hey, it's time, America, wake up. This could very well happen to us in light of the George Floyd, murder, as we saw, you know, clearly online, horrible. Now we've seen our country burn. Do we really recover from this, Debbie?
Well, we have to stop it, Monica. Unfortunately, in Venezuela, all of these things that culminated into what Venezuela is now, no one was able to stop. And I have been, you know, for years trying to warn the American people, I mean, I'm one of them, that there are so many parallels between the Venezuelan left and the American left that I think that people don't even realize. You know, they think, oh, yeah, well, Venezuela is socialist. We don't want to be socialist. But I have to tell you, the thread that unraveled Venezuela is the exact same thread that is unraveling this country.
Okay, what is that? What is that thread?
So there are many, many parallels. I'll name about seven in this interview. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, we have a movie coming up, and we do mention a few of the parallels. I'm going to give you about seven right now.
Okay.
So the first one is identity politics. The second one is demonizing the rich. Robbing Peter to pay Paul, you know, your typical socialist baloney that happens. The hatred of business owners and entrepreneurs, the promising free stuff for those people that will vote for them. Number three, the hatred of fossil fuels. Believe it or not, Venezuela is one of the richest countries in oil production. However, they hate fossil fuels, and I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
Number four, going after their political opponents. Five, gun control. Mm-hmm. Six, the unleashing of government-sanctioned thugs to go after dissenters. Mm-hmm. And seven, the Islamic connection. So,
I really want to touch on that. I really want, if you can expound on the Islamic connection, because the one thing I didn't hear in that list that I want to cover as someone who has been a minister in the church, I've ministered for years. And I've seen this coming in terms of the national moray is completely at rest. It is exhausted. Now we see the church on its knees begging for, national forgiveness, in the spirit of guilt, not necessarily genuine love and contrition, if you will. I don't know how we pay for that individually, but there's a collectivism going on within the church. And I keep seeing the Islamic connection, particularly in Minnesota, dismantling the police force. You have CARE, who's embedded in Minnesota, right? So expound upon that, if you will, with the Islamic connection.
Yes. Yeah, so the Islamic connection is quite interesting. People don't really even know about this. Many people don't. But Venezuela under Hugo Chavez, I think that people that have been kind of following the Venezuela issues know that it all started under a man named Hugo Chavez, who was elected democratically in 1999 and literally became a dictator. It took probably about 6 years before he actually declared socialism as the law of the land. Hugo Chavez sold them uranium, enriched uranium, which, you know, enriched uranium is used to make nuclear weapons.
Right.
So Iran, I kept getting, you know, messages and phone calls from friends and family from Venezuela saying, guys, you know, there's this, issue going on with Iran. At the airport, the Venezuelan airport, international airport, they have a flight coming in from Tehran every day, and it goes to a different terminal. And they don't even, like, screen the people coming in. We don't know what's coming in. We don't know who's coming in. This happened for many years. So little by little, Hugo Chavez started putting Iranian Venezuelans into his cabinet. And lo and behold, finding out that even in some of the rural areas of Venezuela, they had Hezbollah training camps.
Oh, wow.
So not only did they have that, but then they had government officials that were Islamic, and so the hatred of Israel and the love for Palestine was just, you know, plastered all over the news in Venezuela, and of course, you know, this was done kind of under you know, the people's nose. They didn't even know that it was going on. So when Hugo Chavez died, Maduro continued his relationship with Iran, And Soleimani, you know, was also very influential in Venezuela. That, you know, they praised him as a hero. I kept thinking, well, is it the enemy of my enemy is my friend situation? But no, because I think in Venezuela they were truly friends. They weren't. It wasn't the enemy of my enemy.
Right.
It was more my friend, who happens to be the enemy of my enemy. And so I am really afraid for America, in that aspect. I mean, we're not even talking about the socialist aspect. We're talking about the fact that if Iran pulls a lot of the puppet strings for Nicolas Maduro, if Iran is able to make nuclear weapons, you know, I actually see Venezuela having nukes. Iran-made nukes in the next few years, maybe 10 years.
Interesting. That's the first time I've heard someone say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you know, Venezuela is, Caracas, which is the capital, that's where I was born, is only about 1,300 miles from Miami. That means that it is closer to Miami than Miami is to San Diego. Mm-hmm. So if they have nuclear weapons in Venezuela, and again, you know, this is, I'm not trying to be the you know, like, oh, weapons of mass destruction,
right,
you know, how
right,
that went right. down. But this is actually a reality that I've seen unfold in Venezuela for the last 20 years.
Right.
The relationship that the deep relationship they have with Iran. Ahmadinejad actually went to Hugo Chavez's funeral and hugged and cried with Hugo Chavez's mother and mm-hmm. wife and daughter. And so mm-hmm. it's a very, very dangerous relationship with the Islamic regime in Iran, and one that I'm afraid won't end well if we don't do something about it.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's one aspect.
Yeah, as Americans, we tend to see, you know, we're Americans. Can't we all be friends? Can't we all get along? That can't possibly be true. We take for granted kind of the spirit of jealousy that's been woven throughout history with every, country that's toppled, that had any form of, freedom and liberty, if you will. So it's interesting to me that when you talk about these things, it becomes hyperbolic. You know, you become the boy crying wolf, right? And even in the midst of the country burning, for those of us who are still saying, hey, no, really, we really are on fire. It's really not a good idea to let criminals out in the name of a humanitarian effort because of COVID-19, which now we're still wondering, you know, who perpetuated that scamdemic upon the earth and why and when. I think most of us know. But again, you start to sound like a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, something I love about your movies is that it sucks the conspiracy right out of it. And I think, you know, I wonder, I was going to ask you about that. You know, what are the responses you're getting from students? Are you able to get this, your movies, to students, to schools, to churches? You know, how do most people respond? And then putting it into practice, not just using it for entertainment value.
Well, we tried to get America the Movie because it was the least political, I mean, like, ideological. It was basically laying out
right.
the left and the right. This is what the left believes. This is what the right believes. You know, you draw your own mm-hmm. conclusions. And we couldn't even get that in the schools. I think there were a few brave souls teachers that were, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. you know, played it for their students. But as far as like having it in the school library, forget it. You know, mm-hmm. there is definitely a silencing factor when it comes to conservative movies and when it comes to conservative talk. So unfortunately, it's just not mm-hmm. made available to students. This will be the fifth documentary. Mm-hmm. It basically goes along with Dinesh's book, United States of Socialism, but it expands mm-hmm. a little bit more. We talk about the new form of socialism that the Democrats have bestowed upon us, mm-hmm. and it's just it's an expose about the new socialist dream. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that they use identity socialism, identity politics in their socialism scheme. We also talk about, you know, the media. We talk about the deep state. We even talk about capitalism and the moral case for capitalism. Uh-huh. And we, of course, talk about who's behind this socialist dream. So it's an amazing movie. We're very proud of it. I have, you know, a couple of contributions in the movie. I do come out talking about Venezuela, the Venezuelan connection. And I also sing in this movie as well. Okay. It's one of, you know, Dinesh has me singing because
because you have a beautiful voice.
My passion for this country reflects the songs that are in the movie. And so so you'll get to hear a little bit of that. And but I do want to talk about the identity politics part of it, because identity politics played a big role in Venezuela with Hugo Chavez. As you know, Hugo Chavez was an indigenous person. Right. He also happened to have black roots. Mm-hmm. And one of his first reforms in Venezuela, you might say, was racial equality. And when I was growing up in Venezuela, I left Venezuela when I was 10 years old in 1976. But one of the biggest things I remember about Venezuela was that we were such a great multicultural society. I don't remember, maybe because I was a child, but I don't remember there ever being any animosity between ethnicity, races, anything. You know, there were Europeans, we had indigenous, we had Africans. We had all races and nationalities in Venezuela. It was a melting pot, really, in Venezuela, very much like it is here. But when Hugo Chavez went into office, he wanted to dismantle anything and everything that had to do with the white man. Right. And in fact, he hated Columbus so much that he did away with Columbus Day. So, you know, little by little, he started chipping away at this, and he started creating an animosity that just wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. So, this was part of their scheme to irritate and divide people, because first you have to divide people in order to achieve your socialist dream, right? You divide them not only that way, but socioeconomically as well. Right. So, and then I have to tell you something about Nicolas Maduro, the dictator that's there now. Mm-hmm. In 2015, he went to Harlem to speak on a panel with black leaders, including Opal Tometi, who is one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter. Okay. And by the way, he aligns himself with Black Lives Matter, and they with him. In other words, they came out against us doing anything to the regime. And so the alignment is
Black Lives
is
Matter came
there.
Out against doing anything again. Wow.
Against the Nicolas Maduro regime. Mm-hmm. They are friends with Nicolas Maduro. Opal Tometi is, and as well as Code Pink, Black Alliance for Peace. They're mm-hmm. all socialist, Marxist, communists mm-hmm. that are in favor of the socialist regime in Venezuela, and they're all interconnected. Mm-hmm. In fact, in June of 2019, there was an article written by Andrew King, who happens to be a journalist for Left Wing Magazine. But mm-hmm. So Maduro was in office, of course, in last year, and this coalition of activists that hate mm-hmm. Republicans, hate conservatives, they go to Venezuela, right? Mm-hmm. And they meet with him. He gives them this, it's a saber, and he tells them, "Long live the union between the people of the United States and Venezuela." Of course, he's talking to the leftists mm-hmm. of the United States, right? And Ben Norton, who is a journalist for Greystone which is a very far left magazine, chimes in and goes, "And socialism." And Maduro echoes, "And socialism." So all of these, you know, leftists that say, our kind of socialism is not like Venezuela, it's like Scandinavia, they basically are BSing, because it's exactly like Venezuela. And the alignment is so tight that there's no denying it.
Right. In your movie trailer, you talk about submission and groveling. And what are they wanting us to submit to?
Big Brother. That is actually a scene from 1984. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, they want to, the state wants us to submit.
Absolutely. I just watched that movie actually a couple of weeks ago for the first time, and I couldn't, you know, I've had nightmares about it. It just the similarities between what we see happening now, people being fired for posting or not posting things on social media to support the Black Lives Matter, the current quote movement or hostile takeover as we know it, but people being fired from their jobs, canceled from their own families. You know, it's affecting your every waking moment of life if you don't submit.
Monica, absolutely. And again, I saw this happen in Venezuela with the Chavistas and the conservatives in Venezuela. In fact, many families were just torn apart by these ideologies. And again, I mean, I see it and I sob, because it's a cancer that I'm not sure there's a cure for. Mm-hmm. And unless we, as conservatives, stand up and teach other people that these people, this BLM movement is not about George Floyd. It's not about police brutality. Mm-hmm. It's about the leftist control and complete conformity to their desire. You know, again, Dinesh talked about this just yesterday. He said, you know, it's not about dismantling the police. It's about making the police so afraid to do anything to thugs that they're conforming to political correctness. Yeah. And the thugs and criminals are going to be left to run amok and do whatever they want.
Right.
And law and order will go out the window. Right. That is what they want. And that is what they're going to get if we do not go out November the 3rd and vote for Donald J. Trump. Because he, and only he, can stop this. And he can also help Venezuela with the madness going on there as well. Right. He's the only one that's ever cared about anything going on in Venezuela. And he sees the connection, which is very, very important.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that you use the term thug, which is, it tends to be a, you know, a buzzword for people who you're banned from social media for using it. You could actually be fired for using, you know, the word police. Again, 1984. 2 + 2 is not 4 or 5. It's whatever we tell you it is.
Exactly. Well, there's a scene in the movie. There's a scene in the movie with that. And it's chilling. It's bone chilling.
Isn't it, though?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Well, because it is happening. Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I live in the state of Georgia, where my governor is very active in with regard to actual criminal justice reform in the way of criminal gang activity. And I love the fact that you point out how Maduro started to place people in positions of power to where now the citizens, you know, the militia has become, you know, reduced to thugs, basically. And that's what we see happening here. In the state of Georgia, my governor has fought hard for criminal justice reform in the way of anti-gang legislation. We have over 71,000 criminal gang members in the state of Georgia. There are over a million nationwide. This is something that's very close to my heart. It was built up during the Obama administration because no one was allowed to take actual numbers with regard to arrests and what people were being arrested for and their affiliations with regard to those arrests. So for 8 years, we essentially arrested actual statistics and being able to calculate the movement of criminal gang members. So now with this president, with President Trump, you know, criminal justice reform is high on his list. Unfortunately, though, Debbie, a lot of times nonviolent criminals tend to get, you know, become the champions of the day. And they are still, as you well know, are embedded in these criminal gang elements that go to cartels. They span all over South America. They're heavily embedded in our impoverished communities. But more importantly, and you and Dinesh know this better than anyone, they are hunkered down within our political systems. They're part of campaigns. They fund a lot of our campaigns here in the States, particularly on the left. And it's maddening because you've seen the left and including people on the right in my very own state stand up and say, we don't need to be tougher on criminal gang elements. We're fighting hard for an actual federal criminal gang statute, which is very difficult. My state of Georgia has one of the toughest gang statutes in the country. And can I tell you something? It is damn near impossible to get people to prosecute with that statute because our bench has been politicized. So when I see this and I look at our judiciary and I hear people at the polls just yesterday here in the state of Georgia saying, I didn't know who half of the people, you know, running for judgeships were on my ballot. And I'm thinking, that's a problem. We don't know who's making our laws, who's dismantling our laws and what that, right? So when you start talking about socialism, people are, oh, socialism, here we go again. It's just the right and the left. And you're like, no, like the law is actually going to affect your life. One day you're going to be in front of someone who has the power, as your very own husband found out, to the power to put you behind bars, the power to silence you, the power to destroy your life, right? So yeah, oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes. I mean, that is, you know, and it's really crazy because this, we see this when, even when we have a Republican president, because as you know, he's been trying to drain the swamp, but he hasn't drained it all together. He hasn't completed it, right? So we still have elements of thuggery behind even, Dinesh calls it thugs with badges, because in the deep state that we have, and it does exist in our government, we have people that will silence people that don't agree with the leftist ideology. Right. And we, you know, we saw this within Dinesh's case as well, you know, so, and again, if we're able to unravel what actually happened with Flynn, we may be able to get to the bottom of it. But Republicans, conservatives need to get strong. We need to have some balls of steel because we are dealing with evil. And, you know, if we don't fight fire with fire, this country is going to be a completely different country.
Right. I agree.
And the one we love.
Agreed. You know? Agreed. I believe wholeheartedly, as the church goes, the nation goes. And when I see my fellow Christians on their knees begging for forgiveness, for, you know, basically surrendering, I always tell people, if the blood of Christ is not enough of a reparation or an atonement for every sin that we will ever commit, that we could ever think of committing, then I don't know how much more your blood or your freedom could be worth, you know, taking the place of Christ. It's not going to repair something that a nation of people refuse to forgive. So the motto of my city is either hashtag keep Atlanta black, because I live in Atlanta, and I'm not kidding when I say that's an actual campaign slogan. You know, we are the city too busy to hate. And I often say, no, we're not. We're the city too bitter to forgive. And I think we see that playing out, like you said, I love Dinesh bringing home the point in his previous movies about Obama basically being, you know, a bastard child, if you will. He's someone who had major issues with his father. And you see that in the identity politics movement with Chavez and, you know, saying, hey, he didn't even know he had a black complex, if you will. I'm not equal. Right. And so I think that's where we see the root of all of this. The root ball, I think, is very spiritual in nature. But I applaud you and your husband for having the balls of steel collectively to keep bringing this thing to light, to keep being a voice for us, keep bringing the film to the public. I know, have you guys had problems getting into your mainstream theaters with this? Are you going straight to Netflix, or how can people view it?
We are set to come out in a theater near you on August 7th. Thankfully, the theaters are not a problem. It's Hollywood, but the theaters themselves, a movie is a movie, and we are going to be just one of a few movies that will be out August 7th. Now, we are hoping that that some of these state governors will allow theaters to at least go to 50% capacity, because I know that some theaters are right now at 25% capacity, so they've decided not to open because they lose money that way. Right. So we're hoping that with Tenet, the movie coming out, I think sometime in July, there will be a few other movies, but ours will be right there with them. And hoping that if we're at 50% capacity, that maybe we can be in two screens so that we can, get enough of our conservative base to come out and support us and support this movie. But more importantly, take someone with you who maybe is not hostile, but is kind of on the fence. You know, they're like, I don't know about Trump. I don't think I want to, vote this year, blah, blah, blah. So take that person, because I guarantee you, when that person comes out of that movie theater, they will have absolutely no doubt who the enemy is in this country.
Right.
And they will have absolutely no doubt who they're going to pull the lever for. So it's very important. It's one of the most influential pieces of information that we can have in our, at our disposal. And we're going to go full force to Monica, I have to say, I am a complete germaphobe. I mean, I've been on this don't touch your face, don't, Purell after handshake, this whole bit for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't get colds. So you can only imagine when this COVID came out, what I went through. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. But I, the germaphobe me, will go to a theater to see this movie because I think it's that important.
It is that important.
It is that important. We really want people to support it, but not just that. We want to change hearts and minds. And so we want to get the people that are on the fence. Obviously, those that are already far left are not going to go see this movie. And quite frankly, I don't think anything could convince them. But those people that maybe are on our side but are a little, unsure, this movie will convince them 100%.
The Christians who have been guilted by conservative media that somehow they're not Christians if they vote for President Trump. Yes, we need them to go see this.
Absolutely. They will they will be convinced. I mean, I have no doubt about it. So August 7th, help us get the word out. We're going to start releasing. We just released this teaser trailer on Monday, and we're going to do another teaser on I think next Monday. Okay. And then, soon after that, we will release the full theatrical trailer, the official theatrical trailer that we will play until the movie. And so it's a really great movie. Okay. It's good for our cause, and we're really excited about it.
Amen. Where can my followers go to find Dinesh's new book?
So the new book, you can go to DineshDeSouza.com, and that from there, there's a link that will take you to all of the outlets that sell the book. But you can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at Walmart. You can get it at through Amazon, all of your typical bookstores. And by the way, it's doing great. I think today we find out how it's doing as far as, you know, the New York Times.
Right.
We'll see how ideological they are. But it's doing great. And thank you so much for promoting it, for promoting the movie,
absolutely,
for having me on.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And I'm an ally. So anything I can do here in the city of Atlanta, I'm happy to do that with our local GOP, Black Voices for Trump, whatever it is I can do for you. I do for the country because we're fighting this for the same cause. So I love you guys. I'm praying for you both. And you have an ally here in Atlanta. So please don't hesitate to reach out.
Amen, Monica. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Debbie. Thank you. And thanks for being with us today.
Yes. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Life, love, and liberty. It's Monica Matthews.
All right, guys. Well, you heard it here. It's something that most of us in conservative media have been screaming from the rooftops for the past 12 years, really, through the entire Obama administration and through the past 4 years of this one. You cannot possibly have eyes to see and not see what's happening right now in the country. So it is coming home to roost, but we still have an option. And I don't think anyone is saying that President Trump is the Jesus of today. No one is asking you to put your eternal faith and security in Donald J. Trump. But I think what we are asking you to do is to use your God-given mind, your mind of liberty, your heart of liberty, and of justice, actual justice and actual equality birthed from the fact and the truth that we are all created equal. Look at policies for what they are, not through the emotional lens, not through the lens of guilt, but to arm yourself with knowledge and with wisdom. That's what this documentary can do for you. August the 7th in a theater near you. Trump card. Follow me on Twitter at Monica On Air Talk, Facebook at Monty Matthews, MonicaMatthews.com. You can sign up for my newsletters. Looking forward to my next awesome interview to bring you hope, information, joy, sometimes a big fat what the hell, but to provoke you to think and to feel and to move in liberty. That is our ultimate goal here on the Monica Matthews Show. Very excited also to announce that I've got some merch coming up that you're not going to want to miss out on. I will release that to you guys and the public in the coming month. So stay tuned. Have some giveaways associated with that as well. And you guys, this is all about freedom. In the end, that's what this is all about, is your freedom. If you're a Christian, Christ died for that freedom. If you're an American, millions of others have died for your freedom. So don't roll over. Arm yourself with knowledge and with wisdom and vote accordingly. All right, till next time, be good to your neighbor, beginning your own mirror. And remember, if you're an American, act like one.